Hi, everybody. David Capes from your friendly neighborhood theological library. Today's podcast, something a little different for you. Instead of one guest, we're going to have two guests today. And instead of it being about 20 minutes long, it'll be a little bit longer today because both of our guests have a great deal to say, and you're going to want to hear what they have to say. Did you see the movie Jesus Revolution? In that movie, Kelsey Grammer did a superb job portraying Chuck Smith, who was pastor of Calvary Chapel on the West Coast, and the beginnings of the Jesus movement, I think the 1970s. Did you see that? That's a great movie. Hope you do. Well, in the South, in Nashville, in Music City, at about the same time the Jesus movement was getting started, but this time in Belmont Church, which was pastored by Don Finto. And this podcast really deals with the Jesus movement in Nashville and a project called the Don Finto Project. So today on the Stone Chapel Podcast, we'll be talking about the Jesus movement in Nashville and the Don Finto Project with filmmaker Terry Benedict and publisher Gary Glover.
I'm Gary Glover. I've been a magazine publisher here in Nashville for 25 years with my wife. We published the playbills at TPAC and Skirmerhorn. We had a magazine called Nashville Arts and Entertainment. We now have an online company called Songwriting University, where anyone in the world can go online and pay a tuition. And we team them up with online to write a song with a hit Nashville songwriter.
Hi, I'm Terry Benedict. I'm a filmmaker from Los Angeles. I live in Tennessee now. And my most recent project that I'm probably best known for is producing Hacksaw Ridge. And we were very blessed with that project at the Academy Awards.
Gary, Terry, great to see you guys. Welcome to the Stone Chapel Podcast.
Good to be here.
Thanks for taking this time. Now, where are we? I know I'm in the crying room of some church. We're in Nashville.
You're in Nashville on Music Row.
I drove down Music Row, which is really kind of exciting for a guy that likes all that. But where are we? We're in a particular church.
Yes, Gary, this is the Belmont Church. This was the church that Pastor Don Finto came to. And goodness, forget the exact year, but he was here for 25 years. And it's right on Music Row, and it's been impactful to the music community, as you might imagine, the entertainment community through the years being located where it is.
So we're here to talk a little bit about a project. I'm calling it the Don Finto Project for now. But before we do that, I'd love to get to know you guys just a little bit so our audience does. Terry, tell us a little bit about you. Let's start with you.
I've been a filmmaker my whole adult life. I'm a California boy that transplanted several years ago to Tennessee. I had really good mentors when I got out of Pepperdine, where I had gone to school. And one of those mentors was the multiple Academy Award-winning cinematographer Haskell Wexler. And so he had done some of the best documentaries in the history of the canon of documentaries. And so I really developed a passion for telling stories, not just narratively in movies, but also in documentary work as well. And that's really why I love doing projects like this Don Finto project.
Was there a particular documentary that sealed the deal for you that you felt like, wow, you know, I'd love to be able to make something like that one day?
That's a difficult, but the part of the canon of U.S. documentaries, The Thin Blue Line, Harlan County, USA, both Haskell and then another cinematographer, Francis Kinney, who did Thin Blue Line in Harlan County. He actually shot the documentary with me that we did called The Conscientious Objector, which was the basis for Hacksaw Ridge. And that was the first feature-length documentary shot in high def.
First one. And what year was that?
That was a long journey. That was from 2000 to we finished it in the spring of 2004 and then went on the film festival circuit with it for a couple of years.
Yeah, and is that available for people to see if they'd be interested in it?
People can surf around. I think it might be available on Amazon. We did so well with that documentary. It was on the circuit for 2 years. I think we won 2-3 dozen film festivals. And most people that see it actually like it better than Hacksaw because it's the real guys. And it's the first time really that the Greatest Generation, those veterans, ever really emoted and shared their unbelievable stories. And Hacksaw could not have been made without that. It inspired some other stories and inspired the Smithsonian to, I think, focus a little more on how important it was to capture these stories that probably would never get heard, but at least they can be archived.
Yeah, one day they'll be pulled out, watched, enjoyed, but also they'll teach us something about the past.
Right, yeah. And I think that kind of led when Gary and I met, I kind of shared my passion with him, even when my grandmother was on her deathbed. And the thing I was most sad about was that it wasn't just losing her, I was losing all the wisdom, all the stories, everything. And I just thought that was tragic. And so when Gary and I started talking, he asked me if I knew who Don Finto was, and I had no idea who he was. I had never heard of anything like the Jesus Revolution and didn't really know that. And then the Irwin Boys came out with the film, and Gary had mentioned Don being a source of that.
Gary, tell us a little bit about you.
To Nashville in 1970 to go to Lipscomb College at the time.
Okay.
And now it's Lipscomb University,
okay.
my alma mater. And Don Finto was my freshman Bible teacher.
Really? Okay.
So Don and I have known each other. I was 18 years old. Known Don for 53 years now.
Wow.
And I tell people, I grew up in the Church of Christ, obviously, but I'd never heard a Church of Christ minister talk about things the way that Don did. He was talking about grace in our Bible class, and I'd not really heard grace described the way he was describing grace. And so I decided to seek him out to get to know him better. So I go to his office to just kind of introduce myself to get to know him better. And he had a poem on his office door. He wasn't in at the time. And the poem said, "Love ever gives, forgives, and outlives, and ever stands with open hands. And wow. While it lives, it gives. Because this is love's prerogative to give, and give." And I thought, I want to get to know this guy.
That is a great bit of wisdom, isn't it?
Yes.
I love it.
And 12 years ago, we had the blessing of going to Israel with Don. We kind of connected through all that. And another couple that was on that was Bob and Janie Yeager. And Bob called me about 6 months ago, and he goes, "Gary, I don't hear from the Lord a lot, but I think we're supposed to do something on Don's life, maybe a biography or something." Mm. And I said, "You know what? Biographies are good, but people like film, and they like to hear from the person in their life." And I said, "I think if we can talk Terry Benedict into doing a film archive project on Don's life, we'll have something." And that's how this thing got started.
So that's the Don Finto project.
Yes.
Well, that's a great story. When you're thinking long term, what's the big idea of the project? You described it as taking this wisdom of that generation, his generation, and making it available. But I tell you, as I sat in on you guys filming today, I heard great wisdom. I was just making a list of things that he was describing and just saying, well, this could be the metadata right here. This could be the beginning of that, right?
Exactly.
So what are you hoping that comes out of this, Terry?
You know, we live in a world where there's multiple platforms for sharing story. And so it's not just limited to a film or a documentary. We've talked about podcasts. We've talked about Don has a foundation that he started to carry on the vision called the Caleb Foundation. So basically, this first phase is to give Don a chance to just kind of unravel his whole life's journey, both on a personal level, but also philosophical and spiritual level as well. And like Gary said, for decades, he's been going to the Holy Land, taking people there, inspiring them and teaching them. He calls himself a literalist, a Bible literalist. Mm. And from his view, the reason why it's so unusual for somebody to, when we come across people like that, is he doesn't get into the symbolism of the way that some interpret the Bible to be written. It can get confusing. And I think what Don's been able to do through the decades by being a literalist about this, when you read the Bible, you take it at its word, and that is life-changing. And that's the part that Gary and Bob and Michael Blanton, who's a legend in the music business, Michael W. Smith, Amy Grant, the governor of Tennessee, all of these people wanted to see Don's story shared because he made such a huge impact in their life. And so that should be multi-generational. And so when we think about platforms, a documentary only reaches one particular kind of audience. Podcasts reach another. Narrative film can reach another. So it's not to be perceived as a one-dimensional effort.
Does the fact that the Jesus Revolution movie that has come out of late and focuses in upon Calvary Chapel, the good and the bad, does that help the project, Gary, you think, having that in the kind of immediate time that we're in?
Yeah, I think it really underscores the importance of what was happening during that time in the Jesus movement, because it wasn't just happening in California. It was happening all over the country. And Don was right in the middle of it here in Nashville. And it's amazing because even as the governor's coming to be a part of this project tomorrow, Bill and Maria Lee were on our trip to Israel 12 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And so it's just amazing how Don's life has impacted everyone's life that he comes in contact with, from, you know, the governors on down. And it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. I saw the movie lately and very much impressed with Kelsey Grammer's performance of Chuck Smith and everything that went into that. There's a lot that's said publicly, a lot that's unsaid. So what's going to be in this archive from your points of view? What's going to be said in the archive and through the archive that maybe people have not heard before?
Well, I think one thing that is definitely unique from the West Coast is contemporary Christian music was literally spawned right here at this church. And that started with Amy Grant, Michael W. Smith, Brown Bannister, and several other artists. And part of the nature of the story being that this was a Church of Christ church, or still is, they did not have instruments. That was kind of frowned on, you know. So yes. They really broke open that aspect of worship. And so there'll be stories about how Amy came in with her guitar at the age of 14. Brown, in fact, outside there's a historical marker mentioning Brown Bannister and Smitty and some of the other early musician pioneers that in the world of CCM. And Michael Blanton, who's a partner on this project, he managed their careers and really took a lead in artist development. And then Gary's been in since the beginning of that time, so that's why he's essential to me.
Well, what's interesting about this project is, Terry, you didn't know about Don at all. And Gary knew him, has known him for 53 right. years, and been under his influence as a teacher
as a mentor
in many ways. So it's kind of interesting because you're hearing it for the first time.
That's right.
And you're hearing it for maybe the 10th time in
but
some
I'm
ways.
But I'm also hearing new things. Terry is getting Don to go places and to say things that I have never heard. It's a really, really remarkable. A little backtracking. When I called Don to see if he'd be willing to do this project, he was in Bahrain speaking at a conference on Jews and Muslims coming to the Lord. And Gary said, I don't need a monument built to me. Very, very humble about that. And I said, Don, I've heard you say you're 93 and you believe that God has kept you around to continue to speak into the next generation of people that need to hear the messages that God has given you. And he said, well, if you're telling me that doing this project will help me to continue to speak into the next generations, I'll do it. And now he says, I think the Holy Spirit tricked me into this because I thought it was going to be like a couple of day thing, not a 30-day shoot.
Well, you're getting a lot of film on him, right? I mean, not only here in Nashville at his home, but also here at the church, but there are plans to go to Israel.
We're going to go there in October. And when I sat down with Don, having been through this before, this kind of a process, you really do want to take your time and be very deliberate. Give people a chance that they see you, somebody like me, not as a journalist, but that as a storyteller, and give people a chance to unwind that. And I think to Gary's point about he's hearing some things for the first time, these guys have all heard me say this, the hero should never tell his own story. And so it's taken a fair amount of prompting to have Don come and approach his story at different angles. But it's also important to have other people tell about their experience and how he's affected their lives. So it's really going to be, I think, a pretty colorful dynamic that comes together, because we're going to interview Smitty. And
now, when you say Smitty, for those
Michael
who don't
w.
know,
Smith.
Michael W.
Sorry,
Smith.
I cut to the chase.
Okay, because I know a Smitty that I don't think he can sing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. When I tell stories, I like to go back to that first seed, that origin part of the story. Mm. So the thing that really excites me about being here at the Belmont Church, where it all started, was when I heard the story, and Gary had mentioned to me, because he was here when Amy was 14 and came and brought that guitar in, and the elders were wondering, okay, what's going on here? There should not be any stringed instrument up on the stage. I think it's really important for us not to forget our history, because we're liable to repeat not so good things about history. And also, Don even just said today when we were interviewing him that he really believes that there's going to be a great revival that is on the horizon in the not too distant future because of the way the state of the world is kind of headed.
Yeah, I'll also have to say I'm involved in this project for a very selfish reason as well. I'm doing this for my grandkids, my kids and my grandkids and their kids to come, because I want them to get a glimpse firsthand from Don of some of the things that have changed my life these past 53 years.
So to hear some of this will help them to know you better, but also the Lord.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But also to have a glimpse into your life.
Well, I think when you listen to an old man, you know, he's 93. When I listened to my grandfather, and he had Parkinson's, and it was sort of hard to difficult to understand him. But even then, I realized that he's not going to be around forever.
Yeah.
And so, like Gary says, for his kids or grandkids and my kids, my son, who's at Pepperdine right now, has met Don and immediately connected with him. So how does a 93-year-old man connect with a 22-year-old young man? And yet he has this knack for doing that. And I think that that's why it's really going to be amazing. You don't need a perfect soundbite to be impacted. You really need authenticity and a genuineness, especially with his knowledge of spiritual matters, biblical facts. And there's never enough of that right now, and especially in these days and times.
And I'm impressed by his humility. I've been impressed by that when you think about it, wherever he's been. I mean, to be 93 years old, be in Bahrain preaching and teaching, and to be, you know, other places moving. And a lot of people just sort of hang it up. You know, 20 years earlier.
One of his big messages is finish well, finish well. And I've heard that from him for so many years. And I see situations around me where a lot of people have done really well walking with the Lord, but they're not finishing well. Mm. And his message of finishing well is really strong. And the other thing I wanted to say is I've had the privilege of raising money for this project. And I say it's a privilege because, first of all, it's one of the easiest things I've ever raised money for. But in saying that, the other part of it that's been really a blessing is every donor has shared with me their Don Finto life-changing moment.
Really?
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable stories.
That'd be great stuff for the website, right?
Right.
To be able to take those, write those down, record
We've been
those.
Gathering them.
I've
been encouraging the donors to send in their stories.
Don says retirement is not a biblical principle. And yeah. Well, at first, you know, I know I'm going to work probably till the day I drop. Now it's like I know I'm never retiring. But he says you have to retire into something, you know, that you really need to get into a season of life where you're going to make a social impact and a spiritual difference in people's lives. And that's why he's still doing what he's doing.
During COVID, we had, I think, one lecture during that time, and it was Don Finto's. I think it was January. The title of his talk was Don't Retire, Refire. So you get a sense of that would be Don. I mean, you know, it's time to ignite again. But, you know, he's not the pastor here anymore, right? The church has a history. It moves on in a way. But he continues to speak, and he will speak through this documentary.
Yeah,
he will speak through this archive, right? He will continue to do that.
His focus
long
right
beyond
now is Israel. And the impact that he's making now is on a global level. And we just interviewed a woman who converted from being a Palestinian Muslim, who is now not only Christian, but her ministry now is reaching out to the Jewish nation over there. That's the kind of the worst crime you can get into in terms of the Muslim world. So he's making that kind of impact with his Caleb Foundation. And you can see that, just like he says, really refires him and charges him up to see that people's lives are being changed, that we're in impossible spiritual situations.
Don yesterday introduced me to the current pastor of Belmont Church. And first thing out of his mouth, he put his arm around Don and he says, "Don is my mentor."
Wow. That is fantastic. It's a beautiful church. I had not been here before, and right here on Music Row, as you said, and has been impactful in the lives of so many people, but not just around here, but also in other churches of Christ, other denominations as well, because the Jesus movement, as I remember it, because I was in the middle of it, it sort of knew no denominational walls. People didn't really care whether you're Presbyterian or Baptist or Assemblies of God. They just wanted to know, do you love the Lord?
I think that's the other thing that will come out in all of the content that we're acquiring from him, is that, you know, everybody has an opinion on something, but Don's opinions come straight out of the Bible in a literal way, so that the issues going on in today's world, we shouldn't be confused about them. We should really understand them, because it's in black and white. Mm-hmm. And things that he touches on about tolerance and gender identity and where we should be as a spiritual community, all of this is in black and white, and we should be coming at this from a very positive perspective and dealing with our community and extended community with people who may not believe the same way that we do. I've just seen it just in the short time I've known him that his approach is always about loving support, but that, you know, you love the sinner and you work on the rest. And I think the other thing that was really poignant, that something Don has reiterated, was this idea that you have to be perfect before you become part of the church community. Mm-hmm. And instead, you come as you are, and then you get cleaned up in the process.
Yeah. I like the way Don says, all of us got some junk.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I haven't heard that expression used that way in a while, but gosh, that's a really great way of saying it.
Well, it definitely extends hope to everybody that there's a chance, you know, that no matter where you are in life, that there's a chance for you and hope. And I think too many people now are just like, well, there is no hope. Some people think they have more junk than others. Some think they've just passed the point that they can be redeemed.
But there's no point like that. One of the things I can foresee the possibility of somebody who's never heard of Don Finto, and they're out there on the internet, so I really want to know more about this concept of grace. And all of a sudden, Don shows up again. From his life, he's still speaking about those issues to people who didn't know Don in the first place.
Right. Well, you're inheriting 20-plus years of ministry and sermons going all the way back into the 70s during the prime time of the Jesus Revolution. So it goes beyond what content we're actually acquiring today. The past is also following right along. So all of this will be in one place finally. And it's going to be a wealth of information and content, to your point of picking a topic like grace. There may be 50 years of a lifespan on that one particular topic.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Yeah, we also made the decision this week. Don has one book on tape, his first book, and his second book, The Handbook for the End Times, we're starting on that this month. And so that'll be available through the archives as well.
This is an audio book.
Yeah, this will be Don reading his book. Yeah. Handbook for the End Time.
We'll link to all these things in the show notes so that people can
absolutely
continue to dig deeper on this. We're talking about the Don Finto Project. Gary, Terry, thanks for being with us today on the Stone Chapel.
You're welcome.
Absolutely.
I told you that podcast was going to be a little different. Hey, stay tuned for a nugget of wisdom from Gary Glover, which comes straight from Don Finto himself. I want to say thank you to Phil Kagi for our music. Always, he knows Don Finto, and he calls him Papa Don. I think a lot of people do. Thanks to Kathy Capes for production, and want to let you know that these Stone Chapel podcasts are brought to you by the good graces of the people of the Lanier Foundation and the Lanier Theological Library. Until next time, I'm David Capes. Thanks for listening.
Love ever gives, forgives, and outlives, and ever stands with open hands. And while it lives, it gives, because this is love's prerogative to give and give and give and give.